14. Inside your bulletins is an outline that you can ignore if you'd like to, or you could follow along, and I'll try to fill the blanks in as we go along. But supernatural blessings this morning. Supernatural blessings. Now, a few years ago, watching a football game, there was an occurrence that took place that illustrated just how important it is to focus on the right thing. The team had been evidently practicing all week long, and all the time that was put into the practice. And the quarterback, as he came up to the line, had his mind on watching the defense and how they were lining up. And as he got up to the line and the crowd was roaring and the defensive backs were moving and linebackers were shifting, he got up to the line and prepared to take the snap. But the problem is, and a lot of our problems are this, he lost his focus on where he was supposed to be. He lined up and the center was right here and he got into the right guard. And if you know anything about football, the right guard does not snap the ball. And the quarterback got up, watched the defense, and he put his hands up underneath the right guard and was calling out the cadence. And the right guard turned around and looked at wrong rear end. And he looked over, and there's the center looking up at him saying, I'm over here. He had to move over, and by that time, the whole line was laughing, and the defense was laughing at him, and the play just blew up. Brothers and sisters, you're in the right place. Perhaps you're preparing all week long, but sometimes our focus gets in the wrong situation. Sometimes our focus gets where it should not be. Now we have supernatural blessings that God has given to us, and Jesus is going to teach us about this morning. But let me ask you a question. What is your focus? What is your focus this morning? The very key verse in this whole passage this morning is found in verse number 15. John chapter 14, verse number 15. Here's the focus verse. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now that's not a statement of trying to make them feel guilty. It's not a statement of trying to say, hey, you're a bad person. He says, that's a focus of assurance. It's a statement of assurance because all this time he's been demonstrating to him the reason to love him. We've seen the Last Supper here. We've seen him washing their feet. We've seen him promise that he was going to go away and he was going to return. And so in verse number 15, as he continues this thought process, he says, listen, your love for me ought to show how you obey me. Your focus ought not to be on what has happened in the past. Your focus ought to be on what you're going to do today and tomorrow by demonstrating your love for me. And he looked at the 11 disciples because Judas had already left, and he's looking at them and says, fellas, I'm getting ready to go. I'm getting ready to leave, and you're going to go out and you're going to make a difference in this world. He says, matter of fact, you're going to make more of a difference than I ever did on this earth. And you're thinking, now, wait a minute, this was God in the flesh. How in the world are these disciples going to make more of a difference? Well, the reason that they're going to make more of a difference, because they're going to be full of him, and they're going to be able to go all throughout the world spreading the gospel. See, Jesus was right there in Israel. He never left. He never went to Europe. He never went to East Asia. He never went anywhere else but right there. And as he fed the disciples and he filled them with this Holy Spirit, as we're going to see in just a moment, as he did that, then they went out and made a difference. Brothers and sisters, you can do greater works than Jesus Christ ever did by simply taking his message to a place that he can't go to physically right now. You can simply make a difference, but you've got to do it out of love, not out of guilt. Unfortunately, in this life, we do a lot of things out of guilt. We do a lot of things because we know it's expected of us, and we really get no joy or satisfaction out of it. We just simply do it because that's what we're supposed to do. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has not called us to a life of holiness. He has not called us to a life of serving him out of guilt. He wants us to do it because we love Him, because He first loved us. I don't do what I do for my wife and my family because I have to, because it's my obligation. I do it because I love them. They don't understand, my kids especially, don't understand why we set boundaries up. They don't understand why we have certain rules and things that we try to teach them. And if you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, you know that feeling. You tell them, hey, this is the direction we need to go. This is what I expect from you. And they roll their eyes and they look at you like you are dumber than dirt. How many of you have seen that look before? And you explain it to them. And they look at you like, are you crazy, old man? But the reason we establish these things, the reason we're trying to show them and teach them, is because we love them. And that's what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand. Hey, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. And these things I'm teaching you are vital and important because I'm getting ready to go. And when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. So he says here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, there's some Old Testament precepts for this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. God himself told the children of Israel these things. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. It's way back in the Old Testament, back where nobody had any fun. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse number 29. God is speaking to Moses and speaking through Moses. And he says, hey, this is what I want you to tell my people. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Old Testament. Here's what he says in verse number 9. He tells the people, this is what I want you to understand from me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, to other false gods, nor serve them. Why? For I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God. That's in verse number 9. Then verse number 29, he says this, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. Why? That it might be well with them and with their children forever. So in verse 9, he says, listen, don't bow yourselves down to false gods. And then in verse 29, here's the reason, that it might be well with you and with your children forever. Brothers and sisters, loving God, and He gives us the commandments, not because He's some kind of an image up in heaven wanting to make your life miserable. He doesn't give us the guidance and direction to live for Him because He's a killjoy. Once you get saved, He doesn't say, okay, well, your fun time is over with now. He says, no, listen, I know how things are, how I've designed the universe. Here is the things that you ought to follow and live by because it's going to bring you joy. It's going to bring you peace. It's going to bring you happiness. Because I know if you don't go that direction, all it is terror and nastiness and death. So he says, listen, children of Israel, if you worship other gods, you're going to fail. But if you'll keep my commandments, you're going to be successful. All right? It's now common nowadays, and some of you have done this and helped me out this morning. How many of you ever consulted YouTube to try to find out how to do something? Or Google it. Well, I can't figure out how to do this. Let's Google it. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things that I can't figure out how to do, and I Google it, and I still don't understand. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters, if you don't know how to proceed in life, you don't know what to do, don't Google it, read it. Let me try that again. If there's something in life that you don't understand what to do and you're looking for wisdom and guidance, don't Google it, read it. Amen. It's right here. Now stay in Deuteronomy, go to chapter 11 now. He continues the thought process, God does, talking to his people. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Here's what he says next. Verse number 13. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 13. Here's what he says. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken, and to pay close attention diligently unto my commandments, which I commanded you this day, and here's the commandments, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your souls. If that will take place, then I will give you the rain of your land in the due season, the first rain and the latter rain, and that you may gather in corn, wine, and your oil. I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that you may eat and be full. He says, listen, if you'll just do what I tell you, if you'll just follow what I tell you to do, if you'll just simply follow my directions because I love you and you love me, guess what? Everything's going to be taken care of. Now you're sitting there, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I love God. And I've done all these things for God, and I've worshiped Him, I've given, I've done things, but my life is just a total train wreck. So you're telling me that if I just simply love God and obey Him, that He's going to take care? Well, Brother Brian, that's a crock. That's garbage. What about all these bad things that have been happening to me lately? What about all these nasty things that take place? I've been doing my best to love God, but nothing good has happened to me. What about that? That's a very interesting question and thought. But here's the perspective to look at. God never promised us that we would have everything that we want. He did promise that we would have everything that we needed. See, if we got everything that we wanted, then we wouldn't need Him. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Matthew 6:33. That's a promise. And He says, listen, here I'm laying it out for you. If you'll just follow these steps, if you'll just do it because you love me, guess what? I'm going to take care of what you need. You know what the number one need of every human being? The number one need? Eternal life. We said, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. I need money. Brother Brian, I need food. Brother Brian, I need shelter. Brother Brian, I need love. You know what? Those are needs, but the number one need is eternal life for each and every human being. Where are you going to spend eternity? That's the number one need. Are you going to spend eternity with God, everlasting life, or are you going to spend eternity in hell, which wasn't created for you? That's your number one need. Is eternity. And so God simply says, listen, obey me, trust me, follow my commandments because you love me, not because you have to. Now look what else He promises. He promises Solomon the same kind of thing. Go to 1 Kings chapter 6. He's having a conversation with Solomon in the temple. They've just built the temple, and He's talking to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter number 6. Here's what He tells Solomon. They're looking around and they're talking about how wonderful the place is and how it's been constructed. And He's giving Solomon some instructions. Now, Solomon is the king. He's the one that's in charge of Israel right now. And look what He says to Solomon. Verse number 11, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Solomon. Him and God are having a conversation right here. And here's what God tells Solomon. Concerning this house, well, thou art in building. He says, you're making this house for me. He says this, that if you will walk in my statutes, and you will execute my judgments, and you'll keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will not forsake my people Israel. He says, Solomon, if you'll just do what I've told you to do, then it's going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. Brothers and sisters, Jesus told His disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not something of hatred. It's simply saying, listen, do what I've taught you because I love you. Because I love you. Keep, follow, obey my commandments because you love me. Now look at me, brothers and sisters. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would be honest and say, Brother Brian, I have a hard time following all those commandments? Raise your hand. Bunch of liars, you didn't raise your hand. You ought to ever raise your hand. You know what the two commandments are that He's talking about? Two? I thought there was 10. I thought there was hundreds of them. No, there's two that he's talking about. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul. And then what's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll do those two, everything else falls into line. So which one are you having difficulty with this morning? Which one of it are you being forced to do that you really don't want to do? Well, I got to love the Lord thy God with all my heart. I got that one down, Brother Brian. But loving my neighbor as myself, woo! How many of you are married to someone as hard? And I'm just going to ask you that one. How many of you have somebody in your family it's hard to do? Honesty, yeah. That's the commandments he's talking about. Follow my teachings because you love me. And by following them, you show that you love me. All right? So now go back to chapter 14 of John. He says, if you love me, you're going to follow what I'm teaching you to do. Not because you have to, but because you get to. And then he says, now I've got some blessings for you that will be blessings because you love me. All right? Number one, the first blessing, you have a supernatural advocate. A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E. You have a supernatural advocate. Look what he says in verse number 16. He says, and I will pray, Jesus repeats, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, an advocate, a paraclete, someone to come alongside you, that he may abide with you forever. He says, I'm leaving, fellas. And one of the supernatural blessings that you're going to have is I'm going to be with you forever. Now, that kind of boggles their mind because, now, wait a minute. You say you're going to be with us, but you're leaving, but then you're going to be with us forever? How is that possible? The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior at this very moment, God is inside of you. He said, I don't know about that, Brother Brian. Well, let me give you scripture to back that up. Okay? It should be right there written in your bulletin, but let me, if not, just in case, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul talks about this. Romans chapter number 8. Now, if you don't have your Bible, there's a Bible right in front of you. I want you to see these things. Because I can twist a verse and make it say whatever I want to say, but looking at God's Word, you can't twist that. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. The key teaching. Here's what Paul says. He says, but you are not in the flesh. In other words, you're not living according to flesh anymore, but in the Spirit, capitalized. Talk about the Holy Spirit. But you are living in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. How many of you know what the word dwell means? Lives inside. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Now here's what he says. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If the Holy Spirit's not inside of you, you don't belong to God. And if Christ be in you, verse number 10, and if Christ be in you, the Holy Spirit be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit makes you alive. It's a supernatural advocate. Here's the great thing. When you pray, sometimes you don't know what to pray. Sometimes your heart is just so broken. Sometimes you don't even know how to form the words. Sometimes you're confused and you say, I don't know how to pray. The great thing is when the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, He prays for you. He guides you. He directs you. He gives you that peace that passes all understanding. You've got God, the universe creator, inside of you. What a supernatural blessing. There's times that I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror. I don't feel saved. How many of you are like that in the morning sometimes? Bunch of liars? Come on now. Sometimes I just don't feel it. But I'm glad that my salvation is not based upon my feeling. My salvation is based upon the authority of what the Word God says here. A supernatural blessing is that Jesus is going to give you the Holy Spirit Himself inside of you. And you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I don't know how good that really is, because there's times that I don't want God inside of me. There's times that I want to do or say or experience things in life that I don't want God participating in. Guess what? If He's inside of you, everywhere you go, He goes. Everything you see, He sees. Everything you hear, He hears. Why in the world would you want to drag God in some places that this world exists in? You don't. But the blessing is, He never leaves you or forsakes you. Amen? All right, number two, the second blank. And I'm going to try to get all these blanks filled in, because I know some of you are OCD, and if you don't get the blanks filled, it just drives you crazy, okay? So we'll get to number two real quick. Here's the second supernatural blessing, is a supernatural life. He gives you a supernatural life. Look at verse number 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall also live. He says, listen, I'm going to give you a supernatural life. You will never be alone. That word means orphaned. You will never be a spiritual orphan. You will never be alone. And you say, Brother Brian, sometimes I feel alone. May I confess to you, there's times in my life that I feel alone. I can feel alone in a crowded room. I can feel alone at night. I can feel alone. But I praise God that because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, I am not an orphan. I am not alone. May I help you out with something this morning? Satan, our enemy, and his demons, they hate you. And they will do whatever they can to convince you that God really doesn't exist. Or if He does exist, He really doesn't care about you, no matter what you do or don't do. May I tell you some truth here? If God's Word says that He'll never leave you alone, that's what you can trust in right there. He says, I'm leaving, but you're not going to be alone. You'll never be an orphan. Praise God for that. Amen. Number three, the third supernatural blessing, a supernatural union. A supernatural union. Verse number 20. And at that day, He says, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He repeats that thing. And he says, he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. My Father's going to love you because you love me. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's a wonderful thing. In other words, God will make himself evident to you. God will make, in other words, you don't have to wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian. It will be evident in your life that you're a Christian. Now, it's okay to wear those t-shirts. It's okay to wear the WWJD, and it's okay to, you know, do whatever to say, hey, I'm a Christian, but that shouldn't be necessary. Your life ought to be resounding, representing Christ. You have a union representing Christ. Now, this ring right here, if I don't have it on, does that make me unmarried? No. Praise God, it doesn't. So why do I wear this? Because it shows the world that I married the most beautiful woman in the entire universe. Husbands, be careful. I'm watching you. She's mine. This ring doesn't make me married. It just shows that I'm married. But actually, my life ought to show that I'm married. Just because I'm not wearing my ring doesn't mean I can go act like I'm not married. Going flirting and kissing and hugging and doing things I shouldn't do. But then, oh, I put my ring on. Now I'm married. Absolutely not. Brothers and sisters, when you belong to Christ, it ought to be evident to how you live every day. Look at Romans chapter 6 with me real quick. Romans chapter number 6. I know it's written down in your notes, but I'd like you to read it with me. Romans chapter number 6. Because Paul dealt with this issue all the time. Romans chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Here's what he says. He says, I've got this perfect union with God. He says, what shall we say then? Romans chapter 6 verse 1. How shall we comment on what he's just taught? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So what he's trying to get them to understand, listen, grace abounds. Grace overcomes all this sin. So he says, because that happens, does that mean I continue to live in sin? Does that mean I continue to go wrong because I'm going to be forgiven? He says, God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you are dead to sin, guess what? You don't have to stay in sin anymore. You are alive in Christ. You have that union. Before I got married, I was on my own. And I was single. And I could do what I wanted to do. But when I got married, I had a permanent union with my wife. And then she told me what to do. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and He tells me what to do. What a blessing! And so I do what He tells me because I love Him, not because I have to. May I confess something to you this morning? I do what my wife tells me to, but I don't like it. Don't have to, but I love her. There's times that I do what God tells me to do, but I don't like it. But I do it because I love Him. Amen? Now, more you say amen, the quicker we go. All right. Number four, real quick. We have a supernatural teacher. A supernatural teacher. Verse number 26. In John chapter 14, we have a supernatural teacher. It says, but the Comforter, there He is again, the Holy Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus identifies Him, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. Well, Brother Brian, you don't teach me a lot of things. There's a lot of things that you leave out. Well, that's true, I do. But guess what? If you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, He's a whole lot better teacher than I am. He wrote this. And He teaches it to us as we read it. But you can't learn it unless you read it. It says, He will teach you all things. But then here's the one we have a hard time dealing with. And then He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Ooh, we don't like that one. We're in the middle of something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, remember what the Bible says. I don't like that one. Remember, and we don't like that. But then there's times that we don't know what to do or how to deal with the situation, and the Holy Spirit helps us to remember what God has told us. You know, one of the best remembering verses is found in the book of Hebrews. I will never leave you or forsake you. How many of you like to remember that one? How about this remembering verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Have what? Everlasting life. Those are good remembering verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Those are good remembering verses. And the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you, He teaches those things to you. Helps you to remember them. That's why it's so key to memorize the Bible. It's why it's so key down in Awana. We're teaching these children to memorize the Bible. The Holy Spirit will bring them to their remembrance things when you desperately need them. I am nowhere near a good teacher. I do my best. I study and I try to give you all I can do. But I'm in no comparison with this teacher. Amen? And if you have God inside of you, He's the best teacher. All right, here's the one you've been looking for, number five. Number five, go back to verse chapter 14, verse number 27. Verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." That's a supernatural gift, supernatural blessing. "Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What's the fifth supernatural blessing? Peace. Peace. Brothers and sisters, it's not the peace of sitting next to Deep Creek and listening to the waters that runs over the rocks. That's peaceful. It's not peaceful sitting on your porch or whatever and hearing the train go by and hear that lonesome whistle blow. Johnny Cash runs through your mind. That's not peace. The peace that passes all understanding is when the Holy Spirit whispers to you and says, "I'm with you. It's going to be okay. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. Just trust me." I remember my children, when they would have a nightmare, especially when they were real little, and crying, we could just sit next to them and rub their forehead. Mama was good at doing this. I know it wasn't very good, but she was. And she would just whisper to them, "I love you. I'm right here with you." What a peaceful thing that is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And you don't have to be upset. You don't have to be scared. You just simply said, "God, I need you." And the Holy Spirit says, "I'm right here." Because Jesus said, "Guys, I'm getting ready to leave. And in the next few hours, it's going to be chaotic. In the next few hours, you're going to be scared. In the next few hours, you're going to scatter. But guess what? I will bring you peace." You say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I'm not always at peace." No, we're not. But one day, peace will return. That's true. But joy comes in the morning. Peace. Right now, you may not have peace. Right now, it may be turmoil in your marriage. It may be turmoil where you're working. It may be turmoil in your family. It may be turmoil in your personal life. And you're saying, "Where is this peace?" If you have the Holy Spirit, it's right there. God, give me peace. Supernatural advocate, supernatural life, supernatural union, supernatural teacher, and supernatural peace.
So what's necessary for all that? How do you get all of those things? By placing your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's how. And when you have Jesus living inside of you, just do what He says to do because you love Him. Because He first loved you. When we were yet unlovable, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. That's love. That's love. Brothers and sisters, look at me. Please. Look at me and hear these words. God loves everybody else but you. Is that true? Point two, who God loves. He loves you. Peace. Praise God for peace. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. These supernatural blessings that God has shown us here from the book of John, how many of them can you grasp a hold of this morning? See, all of these apply to you. They're all what God has given to you. But let me ask you a question with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. How many of you be honest this morning and say, Brother Brian, I'm not grasping all five right now. Would you just lift your hand up? Brother Brian, I'm not grasping all five of these right now. Maybe something going on in my life. I see that hand. Thank you. Somebody else be honest. I see that hand. Just be honest. I'm not going to make a show of you. I'm just going to pray for you. I see that hand. What's another hand? Brother Brian, all five of these I'm not grasping right now, but I'm struggling. Would you lift your hand up? I'm going to pray for you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Here it is now. Don't respond to me, but instead respond to God. God says, my child, I love you. Even though I'm not physically there with you right now, he says, I've given you these blessings. I'm living inside of you, he says. I've given you an advocate. I've given you peace. I've given you a teacher. I've given you a union. I've given you me. Right as Brother Danny gets ready to sing, just a second, I'm going to pray. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to claim these blessings. I want you to say, God, I want to claim what your word says this morning. I want to claim those things. Heavenly Father, this morning, your word has shown us how much you love us. Lord, there's times that we don't feel lovable. Lord, there's times that we don't feel worthy. There's times, God, that we are out of step with you. But Lord, I thank you for the foundation that your word is. Your word is the truth because it's from you. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this very room right now who are struggling. Lord, they're having a hard time claiming these blessings because somehow maybe they might feel that they're not worthy. When in reality, none of us are worthy. But Christ has made us worthy. I pray this morning that God, we will grasp these blessings in our everyday life. Encourage us, guide us, and help us to live for you because we love you, because you first loved us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Dan's going to begin to sing. I'm going to ask you to come. If you need something, I'll pray with you. If not, I'm asking you to come right now. Come on down.